Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined this week by Michael Leone to talk about the implications and the fallout from all of the free agency transactions that have taken place over the last few days. We are going to start with a topic that is near and dear to Mr. Leone's heart. The Buffalo Bills have been quite active in free agency, probably the most active team thus far, actually.
Yeah, they've actually been sharp in free agency, I feel like. I haven't loved all of the signings. You know, I'm pretty mad on Tyler Croft. I know you're high on him. You had him in the Dynasty Buys column for our subscribers. I'm pretty mad on Cole Beasley. But the guys that I haven't been too happy with, or just could take it or leave it, they've structured the contracts in a way where they can get out of them after like a year, 2 years tops. And then I was very happy John Brown fits with the downfield attack with Josh Allen. They signed that offensive lineman from Washington, Ty, I don't know how to say his last name, Nishiki. But he was a swing tackle backup, could play all over the line. And whenever he's played, he's been awesome. And then, of course, the center from Kansas City, Morse, they signed. So I've been really happy with it. It's weird. I was talking to Dave, who's our tech guy, and he's very anti-Bills because he really hates Josh Allen, and I'm pretty skeptical of Josh Allen myself. So I feel like they're sharp within this context that they created that was dumb. So it's like really weird to know, you know, if they're actually sharp or not, because it feels like they're doing the right things now. Give Josh Allen help on the line. Have this high variance attack, because he's never going to be a successful high volume, high completion percentage guy, but you can have this high variance attack with downfield guys, with Robert Foster, with John Brown. And it looks like they're spending money, but they're not getting stupid contracts. So I've been pretty pumped about the Bills. I still am very weary of Josh Allen, but I think they've done pretty smart things so far.
I think the John Brown signing is definitely good, and I think adding more linemen is pretty much always good. Really, if you sign an NFL lineman who has been good or who you think projects to be good the way that you choose to block, I just can't hate it. I you know, good teams should have like 8 capable linemen so that they can rotate, you know, so that guys don't have to play every down. So I think all of that is good. The Beasley signing seems like very aspirational. It seems like they're like, you know what, we want Josh Allen to be able to make these throws accurately near the line of scrimmage. We want him to be able to throw wide receiver screens and stuff. And I actually think that's sort of like a diluted thought that's going to bleed into a free agency signing. And I would really hate for them to dedicate significant, you know, practice time this offseason and like actual plays, like the resource of plays during the season, trying to get Josh Allen to throw like 6-yard outs.
Yeah, that would be bad. I'm definitely hopeful that Dave Wall, the offensive coordinator, just kind of knows what he has. And they just kind of accept this very high variance offense where they're going to get some big chunk, like they're not going to be a high success rate offense by any means with Josh Allen ever, which means they can't throw a ton. They're going to have to run more, which is bad in today's NFL where it's very pass heavy. But my hope is that they pick up chunk plays at a higher rate than the league average. And Cole Beasley does not fit into that, but John Brown does, Robert Foster does. So it'll be interesting to see. I hope they don't use Cole Beasley too much. And with that hope, it's kind of like, why'd they give him that money? But hey, he went for less than Adam Humphries.
Adam Humphries, I was doing a podcast last night, and I honestly missed that he signed with the Titans just in all the stuff that happened. What a weird fit. That team already has like 5 slot wide receivers.
Yeah, I guess like New England came back with more money too, but he had already said he was going to Tennessee, and he was like, yep, I'm sticking with my decision. I'm going to Tennessee. Which seems like a bad decision. Sorry, Soccer Dave.
Yeah, not. I do not have that offense projected particularly well in 2019. So my team, not really my team. It's not real. I don't really root for the Chiefs. I just root for Patrick Mahomes. But they let Dee Ford go, which I guess whatever. But I was really hoping that they would kind of sign a wide receiver, or that they would do something to add another playmaker in that offense, because they have a lot of good secondary guys who are gone now. Demetrius Harris is gone. Chris Conley, you know, whatever. I can't even remember the name of the other wide receiver, the guy from Florida, something Robinson.
DeMarcus
Robinson. So, like, you know, these are just very average players. So I don't think that over the long term, KC putting all of their, like, production into the three passing baskets of the often injured Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce is, like, going to be something viable. I think that they should look to add another guy. Do you think that Kansas City should be in the market for Golden Tate? Because I kind of think it's perfect. They do really need a possession wide receiver, I think.
I'm not sure what their cap situation's like. I mean, I think fit-wise, yeah, it makes sense. You've got all – I mean, you've got incredible downfield threats with Watkins, Kelce, Tyreek Hill to get an underneath guy to help move the chains a little bit more, I think makes sense. But, they signed Matthew, and it just seems like
– Yeah, I know people say that safeties don't matter anymore, but let me tell you this. As someone who's going to go to, like, 5 Chiefs games this year, I'm very, very pumped that they signed Matthew. Like, that is just such a cool sign, because Kansas City never gets cool players like that.
Yeah, and their defense was, I mean, terrible.
Like, I never have to watch Daniel Sorensen play again. Yeah, and that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing to realize.
But I feel like we should talk about the big news. Cleveland. That was
how beautiful. Like, just amazing to absolutely hoodwink the dumbest organization in the NFL. The New York Giants are they are now like the equivalent of the bags over the head Saints fans. They're the 0-16 Lions. Like, they are the worst.
I mean, kind of like the Knicks have been, right? Yeah. Like, they're just digging themselves this hole that they're not going to get out of, and it's just going to be perpetually a problem. And, you know, it's hard to feel too bad for, like, a New York City team, but
oh, I never will. I never will feel bad for a New York City
it's
team.
Like, I'm going to give John Dorsey some credit, because he's someone that I thought was going to just screw everything up in Cleveland. And
yeah, I kind of thought the same.
You know what? He hasn't, you know, he's made things happen. Like, he was put in an amazing spot. He was handed Baker Mayfield, a lot of good young players, tons of draft picks, and tons of money to spend. Like, you could not land in a better spot. So I don't want to, like, go overboard with the credit.
But a lot of NFL guys could do a bad job with that. Like, a lot of NFL guys would have wanted to, like, sign Le'Veon Bell with that money, or, you know, trade for, you know, expensive 32-year-old players and stuff, and he did not do that.
And they made Kitchens the head coach. They made Monken the offensive coordinator. They got that right. I traded Baker in Dynasty last year under the guise that, like, you know, quarterbacks and fantasy are somewhat replaceable. And I felt good about it at the time. Like, I got Dak back in the deal, and I was like, you know, this probably isn't going to kill me, because quarterbacks just aren't going to kill you. Then this whole offseason happened, and the Odell trade, of course, is the biggest thing we're referring to. And it's just, like, it's difficult. And we were walking through our projections ahead of time, and if you are a premium member, which you can sign up at Roto Experts, promo code DAILY, you're going to get 10% off. We update our projections, our rankings throughout the whole year. It's our first year doing this, so it's a little bit of a learning experience. And it's quite hectic during free agent time. There's a lot of uncertainty projecting guys, but it's fun to keep up to date with it. And right now we've got Baker Mayfield just knocking on the door of the top 10 quarterbacks. But it's all very tight. There's like 10 fantasy points between Mayfield and Rodgers, who's at 5. And we think, you know, Mayfield's probably closer to that top 5 there than he is towards the back end of the top 10. And similarly with Odell Beckham, we've got him just inside the top 10. And let me look at the line on Odell that we've got right now. We've got Odell for in half PPR.
We are low on his touchdowns, basically. Just we have not fixed the baseline of the Cleveland offense enough to project him for more touchdowns than he's getting.
His touchdowns up and his TD rate up. But it's fun to talk through. Like, so you're not only tweaking Odell Beckham's volume and whatnot, which we think actually from a pure market share perspective could take a little bit of a hit, just because Jarvis Landry always seems to command a market share. They've got tons of weapons there, you know, Njoku at tight end. They've got Callaway, downfield threat. So that'll be interesting. We've got him like a 26-ish% market share right now, which with the Giants quite often, you know, he was like a 30% market share type guy. But the efficiency of this offense, you know, that's the team element that we have to tweak a little bit more. I think it's going to push Beckham up, you know, top five. It's going to push Mayfield up top five at his respective position. But our initial spots have him 145 targets, 92 catches, 1,300 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Yeah, I'm with you, Dibs. I think the touchdowns, if you look at the guys rated ahead of him, are all higher, and that's really the spot that we have the most work to do. But it is interesting to see these projections right away. If you're drafting during early best ball leagues, especially best ball leagues going on right now during chaotic time, like, you can definitely gain an edge.
I'm in like 4 best ball drafts right now, like slow drafts on the Play Draft app. And there's been like a ton of spots where like, oh, a signing happens and like immediately like, oh, you're in the 12th round and Mark Ingram gets signed by the Baltimore Ravens, or you see Schefter tweet that they're going to, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you go and draft Mark Ingram just because you're like, oh, all of a sudden I project him for like a greater number amount of interactions.
Yeah, and a really high efficiency playing with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Every running back that plays with him is going to have ridiculous efficiency in the run game there. So, yeah, it's been fun. Cleveland, they also signed Demetrius Harris. Like, low-key, sharp signing.
No, very good, yeah. Like, and that's like a door – let's – it is a sharp signing, but that is like an NFL GM thing of like signing a guy you drafted.
Yeah.
Well, signing a guy you drafted 4 years ago and then waiting for his rookie contract to expire and then signing him at your new team.
Maybe the motivation wasn't sharp, but
but he was like a good and efficient player in Kansas City when he was targeted. And, you know, I mean, there's always a chance that like David Njoku doesn't work out, that like just like these flashes that he's shown. You know, if you told me at the end of the year that Demetrius Harris had more targets than David Njoku, I would be like surprised, but I wouldn't be like, well, that's wrong. Like, it could happen.
Yeah, the hard part, and this goes back to the hard part about doing projections, why we've taken, like, the daily Roto projection system, doing on Roto Experts, is we build the projections from the team down. Like, so, like, all – when you add up all the projections, it makes sense. But as a result, you know, you start to see, you know, someone like Njoku who – you know, this offense should be hyper-efficient. We love Njoku. You know, athletic profile is amazing. You know, it might be a struggle for him to be a TE1, you know, on rosters just because the volume, you know.
He's just going to have to run good with touchdowns, right?
He's going to have to run – like, if Demetrius Harris cuts in at all to the tight end target share, and then, you know, Odell, like we said, he's got to be at least 25%. Like, he's just got – like, maybe he's not 30, but he's got to be at least 25%. It's hard to see Jarvis Landry not knocking on the door of a 20% marker. And then all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah, you're looking at like a 12% target share for
Njoku. I think we're assuming like right now we have Duke Johnson still in the mix there. And if you remove some of those RB targets, Duke Johnson goes elsewhere, that does help to clear up some of the targets.
I'm like kind of optimistically projecting Chubb as well. Like I'm giving Chubb more receiving work in 2019 than he showed in 2018. And I think part of that can be blamed on the fact that he started the year as the third string running back. Part of that can be blamed on Hugh Jackson. And part of that can be blamed on the fact that overall the Browns just were not like a great team last year.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, a lot of stuff happening in free agency, but Le'Veon Bell goes to the Jets. He should have tons of touches there, and, like, low-key, that offense could be somewhat decent. We have him inside the top 10 running backs right now, but on, like, the back end, which...
But I think that's done because we have not adjusted the team-level projections for the Jets at all. And
yeah, they're probably going to be better than they were last year, so I think he's... I mean, but it's tough. Like, those top 10 running backs, like,
can you say definitively
through them? I think the top 10 are the right top 10. It's just, it's Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, who we're pretty high on, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Le'Veon Bell. Cook's the guy that I'm like shakiest on of that top 10.
But they right now their backup running back is Mike Boone. So, like, if they don't sign a backup run, if they don't sign, they let their primary backup from the last two seasons go. And if they don't sign anyone, or if they don't draft anyone, which it seems like they probably would draft someone, that's kind of the Minnesota way. But if they didn't, I don't know how you can really adjust Cook's market shares too much. Like, I don't really think you would give Mike Boone, you know, yeah. I don't think you'd I give think, him 200 carries.
So where would you put Bell? I think for me, I think Bell is, I think I'd take Bell ahead of Chubb. So seven. I think seven for me. So I think Barkley, Zeke, Kamara, Gurley, Gordon, McCaffrey. I think those are guys that you're taking before Bell. But I think after that, what do you think?
So there's like a couple of things here. One, Adam Gase has only ever had one 300-touch running back, and that was Knowshon Moreno in the record-breaking Peyton Manning year. And the other thing is that his offenses in Miami ran 2.5 less plays per game than every other team in the NFL at the time. They played super, super slow. And then the third thing is that I think Sam Darnold is really good, but I have to admit some variance in that projection. So if Darnold doesn't take a step and if he gets worse, like we could be looking at like a Denver offense from last year where like the individual running back talent, Philip Lindsay was really good. Philip Lindsay was really efficient. But if Le'Veon Bell himself is good and efficient and the overall offense is it, how many chances is he going to have to catch passes? How many chances is he going to have to score touchdowns? Like, part of the reason Le'Veon Bell was so good for so long was he was playing on good teams that were putting him in good game scripts.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And I'm glad you pointed out the plays thing, because that's part of projecting team down. Like, we're projecting the amount of plays the team is going to run. And there's certainly going to be some changes year over year. But as you said, with Gase, you know, some people were using the excuse that he had to play slow because Miami wasn't very good. I don't think I'm willing to give him that credit. And that certainly has, you know, legit fantasy implications if you're running five less plays per game or, you know, what have you. That's just less touches at the same percentage. So, but thinking of other RB news, I traded in Dynasty this past offseason in a league that I think you just joined with Ding. Are you co?
Yeah, I'm co. I'm on that Flea Flicker League with JJ.
So we were very deep at receiver and wanted to take a shot at a running back. So traded Will Fuller for Tevin Coleman in the hopes that Tevin Coleman landed in the right spot. I don't know how you feel about that trade. The information at the time, it was during the offseason, so about a month ago. Coleman lands in San Francisco. You know, what do you think about that there? If they don't get rid of Jerick McKinnon, like
they're going to, though. I would wait. It's got to be like minus 800 that Jerick McKinnon is cut, because they can, his guaranteed money has already been paid out to him and his number can be removed from the cap entirely, I believe, if they cut him by April 1st.
Okay, so I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better. You've still got, you know, they're going to use Kyle Juszczyk in there at times. You've still got Breda there.
Jeff Wilson.
Well, I think it's probably net good if he's in San Fran and Cole and McKinnon's gone. I think that's probably a net positive change.
I don't know, because there had to have been some hope that he signs with, like,
no, I mean, net positive from what he was within Atlanta.
Net probably, positive, yes, but
probably
not
net negative from what you like really
expected. Yeah. Yeah. You expected that some team gives him $24 million guaranteed to be their lead rusher or whatever, which is not the contract that he got and not the situation that he landed in. I guess the thing would be, though, is that he lands with a coach that clearly loves him. Kyle Shanahan loves Tevin Coleman. I believe he was the coach in Atlanta that like pounded the table to draft him. And I think he could be used more like a straight up wide receiver. Not that he would be on the field the same time as Matt Breida or whatever, but just that they would do more innovative and creative things, because Tevin Coleman is a really good pass catcher.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like why the Tevin Coleman hope for 3 years now has been there, is you know, the speed, the athleticism in the rushing game, and the ability to operate as a receiver. I mean, someone caught up some highlights of him being used as a receiver in Atlanta, and he's really good. So I'm still optimistic. I don't know. I think I'd probably, just because my team in that dynasty was so deep at receiver, would make that deal again. And with running backs, like, you can get lucky and get a guy who turns to be like a top three round pick. You know, Will Fuller's floor is probably higher, but there's the scenarios where he ends up a top two round pick is probably less than the scenarios where Tevin Coleman at some point becomes that.
Yeah, I think that all seems about accurate. I mean, if Tevin Coleman finishes like RB 18 this year, I would not be surprised.
All right, so let's think. What else we got here? What about your Dallas Cowboys? Haven't done much. I know when you said my team, you didn't even blink. You didn't even go to Dallas at all. You just went straight to Kansas.
I mean, people don't even really think of me as like a Dallas Cowboys fan. Like, it's not like it was something I ever like super talked about on podcasts or whatever. But no, they're not going to do anything. They probably should want a third wide receiver, or you know, maybe a tight end. Tyler Kroft maybe would have been a good sign. I can't believe that Jason Witten is back on the team. That's like the most absurd thing that's ever happened.
Jason Witten is back. That is,
it's just really bizarre, honestly. I mean, we could maybe talk a little bit about
Oakland, right?
Yeah. So Antonio Brown is on Oakland, and they also signed Tyrell Williams, and they have three picks in the first 27 selections in the NFL draft. A lot of people are projecting them to take defensive players at all three slots, but I kind of think they will not do that. I kind of think that John Gruden is an offensive coach. He can't really help himself. There are a ton of really good wide receivers in this class. I actually could see one of two things happening: him trading back from four if Quinn and Williams is gone, or trading up using the 24th and the 27th selections to go up and take somebody. This offense is going to be Trubisky-esque in the sense that they're going to have a ton of really good players. They're going to have Antonio Brown. They're going to have Tyrell Williams. Jared Cook is probably gone. So I think Noah Fant, maybe, if he gets to them at 24, makes sense. But I think Gruden is going to do the thing where he's just going to give this mediocre quarterback all these weapons, and I don't have a great sense of how that's going to play out.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk about with the Bills sometimes how it's tough to tell if they're sharp, if they're dumb, how dumb they are. With Gruden in Oakland, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell because it seems so obvious that they're dumb and not sharp at all. But at the same time, like, if you break down some of their moves individually, like the Brown risk, I mean, it's a lot of money, but they didn't give up draft capital.
It's a lot of money, but like the salary cap in the NFL is mostly not real.
Yeah, and like it's Antonio Brown. Like, and I know, I think it was Matthew Friedman from Fantasy Labs has been like really beating the Antonio Brown is in decline drum. But
yeah, you know who he's better than? Marcel Aitman and Seth Roberts.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a very good receiver. Maybe he's not elite. Tyrell Williams is someone that, you know, the analytics community just always loves, the gazelle, you know, tall, fast receiver. I mean, that gets us excited. We get excited very easily. You say tall and fast, and we're kind of on board already. But he had, you know, he had a lot of success with the Chargers. So, and you throw in all those draft picks, it's kind of interesting to see how it plays out there. I just think Derek Carr's, like you said, like, he's mediocre at best. He's probably less than mediocre. And that's, you know, I don't think going to end well because of the quarterback situation, but interesting to see how they build there.
They also have a very good pass catching running back, which I guess is probably part of this too. Like, Jalen Richard is an efficient pass catching running back. So like they have so many things in place now for the Raiders offense to be good, but I'm just not convinced it's going to be.
Yeah. And for Antonio Brown specifically, you know, I think there's a chance the target share just stays the same. I know a lot of people think it'll go up, but I think there's the opportunity for the target share to rise is much greater because the competition for
targets. I just don't know how realistic it is to give him 30% of the team's targets. Maybe that's it, but I don't know.
The quarterback skill, like, has an effect on the target share too. Like, he might not be, you know, Carr might not be making these downfield throws that he should be making to Antonio Brown. So I think there's a chance the target share kind of stays even, whereas a lot of people think it'll go up. And then on the flip side, the efficiency, you know, undoubtedly is going to dip. Pittsburgh threw the ball as a team so much. So even if the target share stays the same, the targets probably go down overall, and the quality of those targets goes down. So, you know, I think he's a second round pick right now, right? I mean,
I wouldn't take him there, but that's where he will go in the mid second round. I probably won't have Antonio Brown on any teams.
Where would you take him?
All right, let me get the wide receiver rankings pulled up. My guess would be is I would have him around like my wide receiver 13-ish range, but maybe that instinctively is wrong. So let's just go through the guys. I would not take him over Tyreek, would not take him over Juju, wouldn't take him over Michael Thomas, wouldn't take him over DeAndre Hopkins, wouldn't take him over Adams, Evans, Beckham, Julio. So this is the range where I would start thinking about him. I would debate between him and T.Y. I would probably take him over Keenan Allen. So probably wide receiver. It looks about wide receiver 10 is right about where I would have him in my rankings, because I would probably feel more secure in his volume than like A.J. Green, Brandon Cooks, Diggs, Godwin, those guys.
Yeah, so just taking a look. So you're in a 12-team league, you're talking like beginning of the third round then instead of middle second. I think that's reasonable.
Because I assume like a lot of people will have him over Adams, over Evans, over Julio. And I just wouldn't be on that.
Yeah, I think we have him for a lot of targets right now, but I think that's something to.
We also have Sammy Watkins for not a ton of targets, but for like unreal efficiency.
Yeah, so the Kansas City offense, we're like higher on the non, like we're very high on Hill and Kelsey, but so is the market. But then Damian Williams and.
Well, people are just expecting that they're going to draft a running back and that running back is either going to take Williams' spot or split with him. And I'm just not certain about that.
Yeah. And I think that he's a really good pick right now. If you can like, and that's the thing too, when you're using early projections rankings, you still have to keep ADP in mind because you want to reach too far because you know there's uncertainty. We could be too optimistic on a guy. But at the same time, like this is the time that you're going to have edges on the field before all the groupthink happens and it all converges. But so Sammy Watkins and Williams, I think, are great ways to get pieces of the KC offense without paying like too much. And, you know, obviously they're not going to be – most likely, I should say, they're not going to be as good as they were last year just because they were just played at an absurd pace, absurd efficiency.
But, I mean, if you go look at some of the game-by-game stuff, like there were some games where Mahomes had like 5 touchdown passes, 6 touchdown passes, but there were also some games where, like the Jaguars game, 0 passing touchdowns. I would wager, if I got good odds on this, I would wager Mahomes does not have one game in 2019 without a passing touchdown. So I think some of the stuff might actually, like, what odds would I get on Mahomes having another 50 touchdown season? What odds could I get on that?
I think I'd give you 3-1.
I would take that in our hypothetical betting contest. I would take that for like a decent amount of units.
We'll do 10 units because I'm not part of our hypothetical betting contest is thinking through it. And that's just like totally off the top of my head, but we'll mark it down 10.
If you just applied like normal math and logic, you would say, oh, he's going to regress. He's going to throw more interceptions, less touchdowns. The Chiefs are going to be worse. But I think there's certainly a non-zero chance that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now and actually has room to get better.
There's also, you know, part of the regression thing too is, like the NFL's changing, right?
Right.
So you're assuming regression based on past NFL stuff, but if the league's changing, pace is changing for both teams, it could be more plays. Teams are becoming more pass heavy. Like you might not, I still think he's going to regress, but you have to factor.
But maybe he regresses with 700 passing attempts. Like maybe his touchdown rate regresses, but he throws 700 passes.
Yeah, like there's different things that can happen there. I'm still 3-1. I feel like it's pretty good, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
Well, I'm also just a rampant homer. I'm the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan that there is.
That as well.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other big news and notes? I guess maybe let's talk through this last thing before we get out of here. So DeSean Jackson was traded away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and in games where DeSean Jackson did not play, Chris Godwin saw a pretty crazy target share. He's super efficient, but they lost Todd Monken as sort of the architect of that offense and gained Bruce Arians. We have Chris Godwin projected what I can only say is pretty optimistically. I would guess that this is one of the most aggressive projections in the industry, but really looking at it number by number, would you take the over under on 131 targets? Would you take the under on that?
131 targets. I'd probably take the under,
but I guess I have him and Evans projected pretty close market share wise. Cause I have Evans for 154.
But I mean, the market actually is pretty aggressive on him. They've got him 65th overall in half PPR leagues, according to the Fantasy Pros consensus. The last time I ran it, we've got him like 31st. And that's what I'm talking about, where I think there's edges to be had, but you don't have to go overboard. So I don't think you have to draft him 31st overall, but you pounce on him in the fourth round, right? Like, you know, end of the fourth.
I mean, you can get him. You can get him later than that in drafts right now.
I mean, like, I guess fifth's probably better. But if you can grab him in the fifth round, you know, fifth, like the last pick of the fifth round is pick 60. The consensus is 64. So there, you're still playing. And this again, like, if you're playing multiple leagues, it's easier, which is why I like best ball a lot, where you can play it tight to the ADP to maximize, you know, your outs on ROI. And not be totally bummed if you get leapfrogged by someone in the fifth round, or, you know, who takes him in the fourth round. And you just kind of say, like, okay, took your hat, and you're still going to get your exposure. But, yeah, dude, I mean, Chris Godwin's been really efficient for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All the games that you look at when guys have been out, he's produced, you know, really well, or at least solidly. So I'm very high on Godwin as well. I love the move for Philly, getting DeSean Jackson, who – when I do wide receiver efficiency stuff and I look at like historical stuff.
Yeah, he breaks it.
I think he's one of the most underappreciated receivers like of all time, like how efficient he's been. And Kevin Cole, RotoGrinders, pointed this out too. Every quarterback he's played with, when he plays with them, their yards per attempt goes up, like every single one. And So I think that's a great move for the Philly offense overall. I don't know if there's like any crazy fantasy implications from that. Like,
I think it makes things a little bit easier for Alshon. Actually, I kind of like the space that it will afford Alshon, as opposed to when Nelson Agholor was playing on the other side. Like Aguilar, just
like usually volume trumps quality, but it's not like D-Jax is going to get a ton of targets.
No, I think I have him at a 12% market share of the targets, which even maybe feels heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, guy's 32 years old. So.
Yeah, I'm about to turn 32.
Me too, Leone.
I think that's, you know,
That's a good overview. If the people want to see more, if they want to see more of the numbers, they can go to rotoexperts.com, sign up for the NFL 365 package. They can get 10% off of the package using the promo code MATIC, and they can get a 20% discount on the daily Roto DFS tools if they are a Roto Experts NFL 365 subscriber.